Alan.
Rabbi Alan. Hof Beis Kislev, 30th of November, Rabbi Zecharia Sprong.
I'd like to discuss a very interesting insight, two archetypes of prototypes that are enumerated in this week's parsha.
Now you know why I didn't call it out.
I practiced such a long time.
Yankee.
Yeah.
It's on. It's running.
Could you announce this?
The first of the archetypes of prototypes we should like to discuss in the parasha is Yehuda. And he's a source of inspiration, motivation for all of us throughout all the ages. Vayeged Yehuda me'echov. Vayhi bo yisahi. Vayeged Yehuda me'echov. Hoychidu mi'gadlusa, Rashi says. He was the preeminent, powerful leader of the household of Yaakov Avinu. And after he saw, unfortunately I didn't say it in advance, Vayisabel Yaakov could not stop grieving, could not stop being Misabel for the loss of Yosef HaTzadik. Of course, he was not Misabel, like Reb Aaron Cutler points out, for his own personal loss. Yaakov Avinu does not cry, does not grieve for his own personal loss. He's way above that. That's the Ratzon HaBoyre. So that's the Ratzon HaBoyre. However, he understood that his role in life, his mission, insofar as the universal Knesset Israel's concern, is to establish Yud Bei Shvatim. And if he did not succeed to establish Yud Bei Shvatim, so then Klal Yisrael will not emerge in all of its glory and all of its majesty. And he did not fulfill the divine mission that he was set out to fulfill. So that's what Aaron Cutler explained was the reason for his unlimited, endless mourning and grieving. However, Yehuda could have stopped it. Yehuda could have said, no, regardless of whatever the Din Torah was, we, God forbid, should not cause any mourning to our father. It was a miss. He missed the point. All of them missed the point. Yehuda as well. Miscalculation. Seif Maisa Machshava Tchila. They should have realized, seeing the overall picture, the devastating effect it would have on Yankov. The Chazal tell us something which we don't understand a word. The only one who discusses it is the Kotzker. In Emes Vemuna, the Chazal say, what was Yankov doing at this stage? Yankov was Osuk Betanisoyu Besaka. He was mourning. What did the brothers do at this stage? They were also Osuk Betanisom Besakom after they saw the debilitating effects it had on Yankov Avinu. What did Yehuda do? Yehuda, mourning was not the order of the day for him. Even after Haridu Miechov, he was blameworthy. He was liable for the terrible thing that came out, the terrible result. What did he do? He went and he married a woman and he had children. Mimenu ani boire oirei shel Moshiach. And from Yehuda at this stage, so far as what he undertook to do, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he will create Oiroi Shel Mashiach. So all the Mefarshim on the spot asked, what is the connection with the fact that Yehuda, so to speak, was removed from his preeminent position in the household of Yaakov Avinu, because he erred grievously, and the fact that he went and he got married, what does this have to do to creating Oiroi Shel Mashiach? Everybody had a difficulty explaining this. If we look at the entire Sefer Bereishis, so it's one Sefer, that, let's say we were able to learn it without any preconceptions, we have absolutely no previous knowledge. So, we'll start from the beginning, as if we're newcomers, and what do we see? Says that everything that he created is good. A seal of approval by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is wonderful. And as we start learning the parashas, so we would expect that after the Torah tells us about family relationships and family interpersonal relationships, we would expect that that would also come under the category of Vayar Elohim Eskol Asher Osav Inei Tov Moed. So right away we encounter two brothers. And throughout Sefer Bereishis, we see there's an emphasis in the entire Sefer, from beginning to the end, about the interpersonal relationships of brothers. Brotherhood, or the lack of brotherhood. So all of a sudden we encounter the first two brothers that were, so to speak, the first two brothers after the creation of the world, after Adam and Chava, Cain and Hevel. And we encounter them within a very, very religious scenario. Like the Rambam points out, that Cain was so great that he was the one that was able to discover the concept of karbonis. So the Rambam says karbonis comes from the word escarvus, karav. Without any rebbe, without anybody teaching him, he was able to discover by himself with his deep intellectual prowess that there's karbonis, and if you want to come close to a Kaddish Baruch Hu in this world, one of the ways of doing it is through being makriv a karbon. So he was makriv a karbon, says the Ramban, pri adama. How do we know that he was the originator, says the Ramban? Because the pasuk stresses vehevel gam hu hevi mebechayres tzayna vechelbeim. What is the gam hu? He was an imitator. He was a follower. Better word to say, he was a follower, not an imitator. As it turned out, right? He brought, like the pasuk says, gam hu hevi mebechayres tzayna vechelbeim. He brought a carbon which was a balchai. So the question naturally arises. What do we see at the end? We see Vayisha Hashem El Hevel, the El Minchosai. The carbon of Hevel, despite the fact that he was a follower, was accepted by the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and the originator of the idea of carbonis to come close to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Kayin, so he was rejected and he was depressed about it. So Kaddish Baruch Hu told him, Seis, you'll do tshuva, everything will be okay. So the question naturally arises, all the mefarshim asked the question, everyone asked the question, if you discovered, you uncovered the secret of karbonis, so why did you bring Pri Adama? Why could you not have brought a Baal Chai? Somehow or other, somebody of such deep intellectual prowess who could discover karbonis, so we would assume Sivri Kanti, who was a Talmud of the Rashba, says that he also should have brought a karbon mechubid. Pri Adama is not mechubid, obviously. It's not a distinguished karbon. In Baal Chai, indeed, it's a distinguished karbon. So this is a question that preoccupied everyone. The Rikanti, who was a Talmud Rashba, said that the explanation that he understands, and could be that Rashba as well said it, even though he was a Talmud of the Rashba, but he says that he might have heard this from the Rashba himself. It was a machloikas. Today everything is a machloikas, right? The learning it's a machloikas, between people it's a machloikas, everything is a machloikas. However, if you have a lomdish in machloikas, that's very good. So over here we had two big lamdonim. The first two lamdonim that the world produced was Kai and Vehevel. As we all know, Ramban also stresses it, brings down the Chazal, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave complete jurisdiction over the animal kingdom, Oif Bashomayim, Dog Bayam, all the animals to Odom Arishon, Ubonov. They had a total bailus over all the Balechayim, except for one thing. They could not slaughter a Baal Chai. That was Aser. Who was given that permission? Only Noach. After, says the Ramban, he was Matriach with the Behemoth and Chayas on the Teva. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Masati l'chol lo'ochlo ke'esef ha'sodeh. Then they were able to shecht a Baal Chai, and only then were they able to consume a Baal Chai. If they needed a Baal Chai for Harisha, for plowing, for moving things from one place to another place, complete, Bibles. Anything they wanted, they had. That was one limitation, one restriction, was Shechting a Baal Chai. So, Cain came to the conclusion, he would have brought, no question about it, he would be interested in brought a Baal Chai, but he held that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu forbade Shechting a Baal Chai, slaughtering a Baal Chai for personal consumption, so there's no difference whether it's a Tzairach HaGuf or a Tzairach Neshama. He understood a karbon is a tzarech neshama, but he held that there's no distinction between tzarech ha'guf and tzarech neshama. It was a lomdish iser to be shaychet a Baal Chai. Therefore, he could not bring al pi din the way he understood. Rotzen abayre, a Baal Chai as a carbon. Hevel was a regular yeshivish like us in London, know how to make distinctions. So he said, look, that's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forbade us to shech the Baal Chai, but it must be only for personal satisfaction, for personal consumption, et cetera, chaguf. But how could it be possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would forbade us to offer a Baal Chai in order to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the more the carbon is meshubach, michelveyem, hidur mitzvah, the more outstanding it is, and the more a person becomes connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he made a distinction between Tzairich HaGuf and Tzairich Neshama. This is what the Rikanti says. At the end, what happened? At the end, we see that who understood the Dvar Hashem better, who was the one that really was able to fathom Dvar Hashem Heva? Now, of course, Kayin had the primogeniture. He was the Bechor, Konini, right? Like Chava says, he will be our substitute after we leave the world. He'll replace us. He'll be the preeminent person in the world. After all, he's the Bechor. And there's an innate primogeniture right to a Bechor. So what should he have done? He saw that even though he held that perhaps he was the outstanding of the two brothers, he was the more noble, the more outstanding, but he missed the point. Who got the point? Clear Hevel. So Kayin should have simply said, you know something, that Hevel understands Dvar Hashem better than I do. So he'll be the number one in the Dor, he'll be the Rishon Shibidor, and I will take a secondary role, I'll be the Sheni Shibidor. Now, why should I now give him away to be the Rishon Shibidor and I will be subservient to him? Because I learned a very valuable lesson to him, which I did not know before. And that is, in the future, I can be Makriv Karbonis from a Baal Chai, and that will bring me very close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the rejection that I had for bringing a bad carbon now will be forgotten, and Bez Hashem Yisbaruch, I'll be able to restore my relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that is what he should have done. So why did he not do it? So it would appear that the Tikkunei HaZohar tells us the answer. What does the Tikkunei HaZohar say? That Kain is Loshen Keino. Keino de Misavosa. It comes from the word Keino. But Kain can't do that. To become subservient to somebody else, you can't, especially when you have a sense of entitlement that you're the Bechor and your mother made you the designate. So it's been designated you to be the Yoyresh, the inheritor of a preeminent position. So he should have done it, but he couldn't. Kino, kino, kino. At the end, this kino wore on him so much, it infested him so much, that by Yubasada, he killed his brother. So if we put together the Rikanti and the Tikkun Isaiah, we understand exactly what happened, more or less, a very valuable lesson to us. So all the years that I personally learned this, so I'm almost amazed. What's the amazement here? That we have somebody that was reluctant to shech the Baal Chai, like what they call today in Israel, a Yefei Nefesh, Tzar Baal Chai. Can't be that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would be interested in making the distinction between shechting a Baal Chai for Tzarech HaGuf for Tzarech Nishama. It's a very, very able type of feeling. No, very nice. So you're a very remarkable, moral, ethical person, right? Very, very medactic in morality, even in vis-a-vis Baal Chai. So what happened at the end? Not only did you shecht the Baal Chai, you shechted a human being. Not only did you shecht a human being, you shechted your brother. And not only did you slaughter and murder your brother, you murdered half the world. And look at the point of departure. At the beginning, you have to be very careful insofar as shechting a Baal Chai. And what happened at the end? Killed half the world. Like the Rambam says, murder is the worst tavera of all, because it reverberates in every generation and generation. There would have been different statistics that he lived in, children, grandchildren. So, it's early in the morning, and maybe sometimes we have to say something controversial. So we'll say something controversial at this juncture, too. I personally, when I heard that Chancellor Merkel was retiring, I was very taken aback by that. I was very disappointed by that. Why? Because if there was somebody that had courage in this generation by the politicians, who was not worried for her own glory and personal ambition, it was Mrs. Merkel. Why? Because she went on public television after the judges in Germany, I think it was in 2012, said you cannot have a bris milah, not Arabs and not Jews anymore. Tsar balei chayim. Look what you're doing to a little child, 8 days old. He has to undergo an operation. He cries. Where is your feeling, your sensitivity of humanity? And we Germans are very sensitive to the feelings. That's what the judges wrote. We're very, very sensitive to the feelings of everyone, human dignity, including children. Tsar balei chayim. So Mrs. Merkel said that if this law will not be rescinded, it will not be cancelled out, it will be the beginning of the Third Reich. Hitler will come back to power. It will be somebody else. Why? Because how did the Third Reich start? As a moral movement. We're ethical people. Shchita, oy oy oy, it's asa teshech, woo! Look what you're doing to a Baal Chai, taking a knife and slaughtering him. That was Hitler's motto, that he was a moral person. The Third Reich was built on principles of ethics and morality. And look what happened at the end. 20 million people were killed. So always we have to see what the point of departure, whether it's authentic, it's genuine, or it's not. This is how it started. So now we have another relationship between two brothers. Very interesting relationship between two brothers. That's Yankov Esav. Those are the next. Shmuel doesn't appear that much in the Torah with Yitzchak, so we'll leave that for the time being. So we'll skip over to Yankov and Esav. So Esav, a goy, right? Edom. So he holds that he deserves the brachas. Why does he deserve the brachas? He's the bechor, right? And he says, Yakveni said, Pamoyim took away my brachas, bechayra, and he gave them away. But the brachas surely were taken away from him. So he says, Yikru me'evalofi, the harga es yankif ochi. Just wait till Yitzchak sits Shiva, and then afterwards, Terech, I will kill. Now, if somebody thinks that that was also of respect to his father, so the Yonis of Ben Uziel and the Perich Yonis of Ben Uziel says the opposite. It says, why does it say Yikru me'evalofi? So the Yonis of Ben Uziel says, very, very passionate, because then yankif will sit Shiva. Somebody was sitting Shiva over here, our condolences, deep felt condolences to that individual or his wife. So, heartfelt condolences. So, he was sit Shiva. Now, if he sit Shiva, he won't be able to learn. And if he can't learn, Yankov, so, Torah magnir matzlet, Torah is a salvation, prevents a person from danger. Therefore, that will be a time, she'uchaloy, I will be able to be misgaber over him. I'll be able to defeat him because he won't have the protection of learning. So once, many, many years ago, the Chevron of Bachram, the Mir Bachram, came to the Beis Israel, and he mentioned this to Agnes and Ben Uziel, and he asked the boys from the Chevron, no, but they can learn Dvarma Mutarim, you can learn Hilchas Evel, all of them can learn Hilchas Evel, can learn Dvarma Royim. So nobody can answer the questions. The Beis Israel, although he had a good sense of humor, says, I'll tell you the answer, but he can't learn Besimcha. He felt a sense of entitlement. So once somebody feels he was deprived of something, he deserves it, but he was deprived of it, somebody took it away from him. So we see that Esav, right, Eshli Rov, others say he had a Rov, right, actually, we had a Rav, and there's Rav Paskin. What do you do when somebody deprives you? You learn from Cain, and he will kill his brother. Now, this trait, right, so many, so the Zohar already points out that Esav represents Gaiva, things like that. But the truth of the matter is that that trait is not unique to Goyim. Unfortunately, it became a Jewish krenk too. Two times I heard from the Stipler, and nobody could tell over a story like the Stipler, but he said over a story that unfortunately, why did Nevardah go out of its way, right? I mean that you shouldn't dress properly, you should be disheveled. God forbid somebody should come into Gaiva. They have today a word, power dressing, right? So you feel good about yourself, right? You look good, so you feel good. Hold of yourself a little. So Nevardah was the opposite of that. Stipler never wore a clean shirt all of his life, tattered clothes. That was the principle of why? a person should not fall into gaiva. What was their source for that? So Rabbi Yisrael Novardik said that once upon a time he bought every day. I mean, he was worried for other people. So he used to bring a mivel apayas for very poor men and a lot of children. That he lived outside of Novardik. I mean, he's a very, very poor person. So for years he bought a raffle ticket for him in order to mezakeh him. Anyway, on one Thursday afternoon, a bitter cold day in Russia, that raffle ticket won. Unbelievable. So he didn't know what to do, because he didn't know exactly where he lived. It was very, very cold. He lived outside of the city. So what happened was, he decided that he's going to tell him the good news. Al timne toiv nibolov. It took him hours to find out where he lives, and he slid on the ice, and he almost killed himself. Mamish mesiras aguf. To get to this person's house, and he got there late at night time, knocked on the door. So the person answered, "Oh my goodness, Rabbi Yisrael Novardik!" He woke everybody up. Says, "Guess what a cover I have! Rabbi Yisrael Novardik came to visit us." It was 11, 12 o'clock at night time, whatever it was. Unbelievable! He couldn't get over. He started singing, dancing. So then he asked him, "What was the purpose of the visit? What's the purpose of the visit?" "I want to tell you, you're a millionaire. After all these years that I bought a Mifal HaPayas ticket for you, so you have won." All of a sudden, his countenance changed. He says, "Maybe you didn't hear properly. I just told you you won. I was mezakeh you. Zoch gadol shel befanov." Countenance changed. He says, "What happened? What happened? A moment ago you were so happy." I said, "I don't understand. If somebody else would have waked me up in the middle of the night, they don't know I'm a millionaire. But you know I'm a millionaire. A millionaire, you wake up in the middle of the night? My, my, my." So, Stipler said, it doesn't take long, 1 second, to fall into gaiva. It doesn't take too long, and if you have other reasons to think that you're a big knacker, right? So, that is not just the mida, right, that they said over by Donald Trump, President of America. He goes duck hunting. So, he can never, he's perfect person, a real Baal gaiva. I don't think there's anybody that exemplifies it better than him. So he went and he showed off to, he had all the press there, all those people there. So he said, "I've been doing this for years, this is my favorite sport." So he shot and he missed. So then he turned to the people there and says, "You see?" They said, "Yeah, we see." "No, you don't see. There flies a dead duck." "There flies a dead duck." So this is what happened. At the end, we'll soon see we don't have that much time, but we'll get to the first prototype. So what should have been the natural response to this situation? Where somebody, rightfully, not rightfully, thinks that he's entitled to something, and all of a sudden, he's deprived. So what he should do is that he should realize that there's a reason behind it. Nothing wrong with making Hevel the Rishon Shebedar. Nothing wrong with making Yankov the Rishon Shebedar, and you be subservient to Yankov, and you try to improve your ways, and perhaps there will be ultimately a time that you'll be able to regain your status. That should be the... Who is the one that taught us what should be the right response after it turned out that your learning was worthless? Yehuda was a Talmud Chacham, worthless. Tremendous intellectual kaychus, tremendous powers of observation. Yehuda ultimately will be the kinghood of Klal Yisrael, comes from Yehuda. Gur Aryeh Yehuda, unbelievable. Why did Yehuda do what he did? So, we don't understand. Where's your Torah? We don't understand. So he made an egregious error. So what did he do? Could have rationalized, could have not. What did he do? He left. He left Shifteko. And what did he do? So the Kusker said he started all over again. What's the first mitzvah in the Torah? Pruervu. He got married. He said, "I was totally wrong. My learning is worthless. Look what I did to my father. I should have known better. I admit my mistakes. I deserve to be, so to speak, to lose my preeminent position. I'm leaving the clan, it's all my fault." He takes upon himself responsibility. And to be a king and to be a leader, you have to accept responsibility. But what did he do? In a miraculous way, heroic and courageously, he was able to start the Torah all over again. Till now, I went totally krum, and now I'm going to start myself, I'm going to try to straighten myself up, and I'm going to start from the beginning. What's the beginning? The first mitzvah of the Torah is Peruvu, and he got married. So the Kotzker said a very beautiful pshat that the Rishonim tried to be mefarishit. They said very good, but the Kotzker said good. Gur Arya Yehuda miterev bni oliso kora rovatz ka Arya chalavi miyikimenu. You picked yourself up with your own koiches. The Chazal on that pasuk says, "Yisnar miyofer kumika." He turned the gilto. Shemuluch leches betit afilu elef chavrisel. Try to clean her up. They're not matzliah, but if she just gives herself a shake in 1 second, so she's clean. So the Kotzker asked, "What's the chiddush of the zayar?" It says in the pasuk, "Yisnari miyofer kumi." Shake yourself out from all the dirt that has been accumulated in you. So what do we have? A Tarna Gaila. We need an example from a Tarna Gaila. So the Kotzker said, very good. That is Narmi of Rekumi means you should take self-inspiration, self-motivation. Made a mistake, admit it, take responsibility, start all over again. Very difficult because it involved a total self-negation, a total self-castigation, a total self-incrimination. Nonetheless, if somebody is heroic, courageous, he could admit the truth, so he'll do that. But from the pasuk, we wouldn't know that maybe somebody else could also help you. So that's what the Zohar says. 1,000 people will try to help somebody to get rid of the dirt. They will not succeed. 1,000. And all you have to do is give yourself a shekel, shake yourself from the dirt, and you're totally clean. That was it. So said the Kotzker, very geschmack, miterev b'ni oli, so you picked yourself up. And I want you to know, Yehuda, Kora Rovatz Ka'arye Yechalovi. A lion is powerful, but a lion that doesn't utilize his strength is Kora Rovatz. He just lies there. Of course he's a lion. He has tremendous strength, but it's only in the potential realm. He's not doing it. Kora Rovatz Ka'arye Yechalovi. Mi Yikimenu. Who is going to pick you up if you don't pick yourself up? And because of that, Yehuda, because of that, Yehuda got kingship. Responsibility. Tzotka Mimeni is the same idea. We don't have that much time to go through it. Tzotka Mimeni, he could admit that he was wrong. He's a responsible figure. Klal Yisrael needs a king that is responsible. Yosid Lovoy, not, in my opinion, the first drusha that Mashiach said Kenu was going to have to tell us, Meir Rabbi Sai, I'm Mashiach, I want you to know, why did I have to come? Not everybody's interested in Mashiach should come. People don't speak about it too much. But if we were to ask ourselves, why do we not want Mashiach? I mean, the beginning of history started with Bria Soilam, right? There's a plan of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Ultimately, there should be a Mashiach. Everything that is in between either will further Achra Sayyamim or will bring it closer. So we all know that's the purpose of creation. There should be an Achra Sayyam Mol Hashem Deyos Hashem. That's the ultimate purpose of Briyas HaOilam. Answer is, because during the time that Mashiach will come, like Chazal said, there's going to be a lot of changes. And not everybody will be able to change. So the one that showed the ability, the capability, the capacity of change, which will be necessary during the times of Mashiach, there will be certain leaders that we have today, that might not be leaders. And you have other people that will also have to make adjustments during the time of Mashiach, because there's going to be a different hierarchy, there's going to be a different setup to Klal Yisrael, and the ability of change that will be necessary, Oyre Shel Mashiach, will consist of change, 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 change in every single capacity, so that the preeminent person that did that was Yehuda. So Mimenu ani boirei Irish Mashiach. The question was asked, every single father, that everybody does. Everybody has two children, so he blesses them, the grandchildren, Yosim Chalikim Kefraim Luchim Menashe. And Yankim says, but yes, right there. He placed Ephraim before Menashe. Who was the Bechor? Menashe. And Menashe, the Chazal say, was the most dedicated son anybody could have. He was totally dedicated to his father. Rashi already points it out. All the crazy shlichusin that Yosef needed, right? He gave it to Menashe, and Menashe implemented everything perfectly. He was a Talmud Chacham, and he did everything. A tzaddik yisayd adam. All of a sudden, correct? We don't understand this. We have no idea, right, how to explain this. But Yosef actually thought, correct, that his father made a mistake. Should have put his right hand on Reish Menashe. So he went and physically he tried to stop. Right, Yankovin planning his plan. He tried to physically stop him. So Yankovin was smarter, so he changed his hands. And he said, no, I'm going to give him the bracha to Menashe. Why? Because he will be the Godel who Yigdal Alechefa. So the Rechaim HaKadosh has a father. No one ever doubted, Litvishe, Chasidishe, Svaradishe, that the right hand of Yankov Avinu is a powerful right hand. No one ever doubted that. And if Yankov Avinu answered that he's going to be the Gadol, so the Rechaim says that he could have, Yosef could have said, of course he'll be the Gadol, because you're putting your right hand on his head. Put your right hand on Menashe. He says, he'll be the Gadol. That no one doubts the power, at least when Yankov was leaving the world, of the bracha of his right hand. So we don't understand all the answers that we have are not answers. We don't know. It's a Meridik Akasha, and we cannot say that somehow or other it's not as powerful as we think. Anyway, that's what happened. A little embarrassing if we learn Pshuta Shel Mikra. Nevertheless, what do Chazal tell us? Oh, Chazal tell us a Meridik Azach. They walked out the best of friends. Walked out the best of brothers. Menashe said, maybe I deserve, I'm the Bechor. And I did everything that possibly I was that I could do, everything that I asked to do. So this is not nice. Look what happened to me. So maybe I'll have some sort of kapeda to my brother. On the contrary, he accepted it. And that's why he accepted his subservient role. It did not bother him. The world is big enough. And also his role is important. You don't have to be number one. You don't have to be number two. It could be some person. You also have a shlichus in this world. And that's why every single Jewish father wants his children to go in the proper way, which is that no jealousy whatsoever, even if somebody feels that he is entitled to a higher position, and rightfully so, rightfully so. Nevertheless, if it so happens, the circumstances, conditions, that things reversed, so what do? The bags at the cup, and you say, I have plenty to do, and I'm mechabed my other brother, whatever it is. And if we would learn this lesson today, we would have absolutely no problems in Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, we didn't learn the lesson. Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, in summation, if I have time or I don't. Okay, so I'm stopping now. Because I was taught many times in England that sprung, you have to know one thing. You are not mechuyev to finish, but you are mechuyev to stop.
All right.